Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, we're recapping the action from the match three. Shocking turn of events there with Charles Barkley's golf game. Plus our holiday weekend recaps, a surprisingly good field in Mexico. It's officially holiday movie watching season as well when we get tuned in. And this week's guest is Chef Noah Hester. You also know him from Terry Bradshaw's family reality show on the E! Network, The Bradshaw Bunch. He is Terry Bradshaw's son-in-law as well. We get into that, golf, Hawaii life, cooking, and a whole lot more. Plus, we finish with Thanksgiving leftovers and much more when we hashtag always end with food, and all of it brought to you by our friends at FlightScope. Mike, you know firsthand, because I've been talking about it for a while, this Mevo unit, it's handheld, it's super easy to bring around with you, and it gives you all the data you need for your golf swing. It tells you exactly how far you're hitting the ball, your swing speed, ball speed, all the crucial things you need to know about your swing, your game.
You can go full Bryson.
You can, and it again, it's a pocket-sized device, and I love the Mevo, how portable it is. You can just flip it open on the range. It's two clicks. It connects to your phone very easily. It's a simple way to get the data and stats and numbers that you want, and you often can't get in your golf game and in your practice routine as well. So again, it's FlightScope Golf. It's the Mevo. It's holiday shopping season. If you want a Mevo for the holidays, get on it right now. I know they got a little bit of a lead time, so get your orders in. Our promo code is COL10 for 10% off the Mevo unit. Again, that is FlightScopeGolf.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Groove It Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was a banner Thanksgiving weekend with all sorts of things going on, especially food into people's mouths. We'll get to that at the end as usual. But first, let's talk about what happened on Friday with the match three.
That's right, the match three. No PGA Tour golf. So we had to lean on this the day after Thanksgiving.
We did, and we had, of course, the Phil and Barkley versus Steph Curry and Peyton Manning matchup. And who'd you end up putting money on for this? Did you make?
I tweeted it out on Friday morning at Course of Life One. I said I would go ahead and just bet the house on Phil and let's have a Friday. And when I said that, I said I don't even care about Charles Barkley because I thought he would be non-existent in this entire match. I thought it was going to be Phil versus two in terms of Curry and Manning. And lo and behold, Mike, Phil Mickelson not only like walked and talked and held Charles Barkley's hand through this entire round, he actually like got him into position to like swinging the golf club like a normal human and playing decent golf. The most stunning development of the match was Charles Barkley being a contributor in any form.
Yeah, I mean, Barkley started off 2 for 2 with fairways hit. So
you're never going to read that stat again. That's for sure.
When it comes, I don't even know how often I start around 2 for 2 on fairways hit. So
Mike, you'll appreciate this. Phil just told him hit the 5-iron. He just hit 5-iron off every tee. We just need to get you in position to make some sort of a contribution. He had a couple good lag putts as well, too. Charles Barkley, lag putts. These are things I never thought I would utter from my mouth. But lo and behold, Phil did it. And he obviously led the charge with a great performance of his own, playing at a +5 handicap in this match. Impressive stuff. And Phil and Barkley, the underdogs, getting it done in the match three.
Yeah, it was. And as they said at the end, as they won with about three holes left to play, only two people thought that this was going to happen. Phil and Chuck.
That's right. Yeah. And it was dominant, too. I think it ended on what, like the 14th or 15th hole or something like that?
It was 4-4-3. Yeah. So after the 15th, it was over.
And they were running out of sunlight in the desert, too. So good thing it got done early. But it was a cool event on TNT. Shout out to Andre Iguodala, who did a great job on the call. It was fun to hear Eli and Peyton jibber jabbering a little bit here and there. And Gary McCord back on TV. It was good to hear his jokes and his comedic routines on the golf course, which we hadn't seen in a while. So a welcome sight back.
It was indeed. And now we get to start thinking about after this incredible match three without Tiger. Didn't seem to really, hurt one way or the other to me. Who do we want in the match four?
it seems like Phil has really grabbed this by the reins now, because I just did the math. And I was like, oh, he's the only one that's been in all these matches. So I feel like he's got a, he's the recruiter here. It seems like, so then you kind of look to like, who is Phil going to bring? I think I want to go back to the format where Phil and a celebrity or athlete are playing against another PGA Tour player and another celebrity or athlete. It was just a little unbalanced, and you could see that even two golfers with respectable handicaps, like Curry's a scratch and Peyton Manning's a five, those two combined, they just couldn't hold a candle to a PGA Tour player but playing in a round like that in a stage. So I would love to see someone like a Ricky or a JT or just a younger, exciting figure, maybe a Kepka or something along those lines on the other side, who has a sneaky sense of humor maybe. And then, I don't know about you, Mike, do you have any other names off the top of your head? Tony Romo gets thrown around a lot. I'm hearing it's just scheduling that's kept him from being involved.
Yeah, you know, I said it before last week that I'd love to see Manning versus Manning. I just think that'd be awesome. It's unfortunately, it seems like they don't get along well when they're on the course.
I appreciate whatever. That.
But you know what else would be really fun? Think about it. You know, how would you like it if you were a caddy to be able to play against your player in prime time like this? Wouldn't you love to be Fluff going against Jim Furyk or Joe LaCava going against Tiger Woods or Bones going against Justin Thomas? Would be Bones going against Phil Mickelson. That'd be pretty funny, actually.
Tiger's caddy and Phil against Phil's caddy and Tiger. Are you down with that?
Oh yeah.
That's got some serious juice right there.
Yes.
Because they're each using their friend and ally against one another in competition. Yes. There's nothing more pure than that. It, you know, like when you're in the playground in basketball and all of a sudden your friend just switched his teams to go play on the winning team. There's nothing that lights a bigger fire under you. That could be intense for sure.
I will say the one problem with this setup is that you have the issue of this isn't going to bring new people to watch. Right. Because it's going to be diehard golf fans watching this sort of thing. So if we're trying to grow the game, we need to get celebrities.
All right. Zac Efron, let's get on the phone. Let's get
our
celebrity network. We need A-listers only. A-listers only. I know Mark Wahlberg will play, but he loves playing between like 4 and 7 a.m. So I don't know if that's going to be made for TV with the time of day that he likes to play on the golf course. But we'll keep the pot stirring. If anyone's got suggestions for the match 4, hit us up on Twitter. He's at MWRINC and I'm at Course of Life 1 with your suggestions. Looking forward to the next iteration. Whenever that is.
We just talked about growing the game, and there was a big announcement this week about the game of golf in general, and that was the new alliance between the Euro Tour and the PGA Tour.
Yeah, we need to celebrate this, Mike, because you and I are the biggest European Tour champions there are. I don't hear another golf podcast that talks as much about the Euro Tour as you and I do, because we love it. They're just cooler. They're just better. They're just smarter. They're more innovative. They're more socially active, and they're just super engaging.
They're all their fans. They are the cool uncle.
Yeah, and I think we're as the PGA Tour over here, us lame Americans, we're just trying to piggyback off a little bit of that coolness with the alliance here. You know what I mean? Like we just got to get on their level. Plus, from a social standpoint, we got to be pumping out the content the way they are over on the other side of the pond. But the bigger picture thing for this, Mike, is what you and I talk about a lot is how these guys craft their schedule and decide how the golf calendar gets laid out. It's very messy if you're just stepping in from the outside and you don't know anything about professional golf to take a look at the golf calendar as it is right now. These two tours getting aligned could align for a really good schedule in which we get the best American players, you know, Tiger and Phil taking that month-long trip over to Europe where we have a cluster of great European events, and then having the best European players do the same and all coming over for a stretch of American events. So I see a lot of potential there.
Yeah, I really think this is great, like we said, for the schedule, to make sure the schedule's aligned. It's great for content because you're going to have some great content coming out now the European Tour, and maybe they'll teach the PGA Tour how to do the same and make content like that. And you know, we talked about this earlier in the year, and I said this on Twitter when this came out. This is the end of the Premier Golf League. And this is really good for the PGA Tour, because the Euro Tour, if they went to the Premier Golf League, then the PGA Tour was in big trouble. So this is great for the PGA Tour.
Yeah, and Roy said something about that too. He was very candid in the remark the other day. He's like, yeah, well, the Premier Golf League tried to put something together like this, but they just couldn't. So we got it done with the PGA and the Euro Tour. So shout out to the Alliance, and looking forward to seeing what's to come there.
Yeah. Let's move forward to what's happening this coming weekend, because the PGA Tour is going down to Mexico for the Mayakoba Golf Classic. Wasn't this an infamous event with the El Tucan a while ago, right?
Yes. Thank you for the reminder. Well, one of the OG stories on the Course of Life podcast, I believe.
Yes.
I think it was positioned in that fall of 2018 when we launched. So we're going back to the old days. But yes, this was the site of Matt Kuchar being extraordinarily cheap and only giving his caddy $5,000 after winning over $1 million.
It really is what turned the tide for me in terms of now not liking Matt Kuchar.
Ah, it's been 2 years. Dang, it has. Yeah. We're at Mayakoba in Mexico. And in lieu of everything crazy that's gone on in 2020, one thing we did get is a nice backloaded golf schedule. And we're still getting high quality tournaments and fields, Mike. It's the holiday season. It's rare that we're getting Christmas time golf like this. We're going to have a great field this week, a U.S. Women's Open next week here in the state of Texas where I am. And then we're going to have Tiger the weekend after in the Father Son. What a fantastic stretch of golf here in December, a month that is usually just kind of forgotten about and looked over. I'm pumped for the holiday season golf vibes here.
Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, and happy Kwanzaa. It's time to play some golf.
Yes. I haven't said that many years, but here we are.
Yeah. Right? So. Yeah. Loaded field out there. Let's get a hot take from you on what you think here with a field like JT, Brooks, Finau, Fowler, all down there at Mayakoba. I mean, this is loaded. What do you think is going to happen this weekend?
Yeah, it's interesting. Did the girlfriends and wives decide that we could parlay this into like a nice little vacation as well? Family vacation action.
It doesn't matter that the Rona is surging again. Let's go to Mexico.
Yeah, no, and there's tons of countries where we can't go, but Mexico's one. Mexico's one. So yeah, fire away, guys. No, they'll be staying safe in their own rentals down there for sure. But I'm looking at guys like Brooks to probably play well. He's had a decent amount of form in the last couple of months, but wasn't fantastic at Augusta. Be good to see him turn the page, maybe get a good start under his belt before the turn of the year. One pick that I'm going to give out on the podcast right here. Again, my full card is usually a Wednesday afternoon at Course of Life One on Twitter. I'm going to go with Harris English, a guy that's shown up on a few leaderboards this fall. Georgia alum, been putting himself in contention recently. He's a pick of mine that you're definitely going to watch. I think he's going off around 30-35 to 1 right now. But check out my full card on Twitter, and looking forward to the action in Mexico and another nice tropical venue here as the winter starts to set in the States.
It's winter. In fact, it's we're recording this on a Monday evening. Tuesday morning here in Georgia, in the Savannah area, we have a frost warning.
Same in Texas. It's getting cold for real.
Cold snap across the country.
Break the jackets out, people. Wintertime.
It's December. just reminding you, it's December. We only got one more month left of 2020, and we're going to get a good golf, and we'll keep an eye on it and let you know as it goes. Let's turn over to Tuned In, though, first, to see what we're tuning into the world outside of sports. Alex, I've rediscovered a classic. It's going to bring us back to our childhood.
You're very, very big. AKA, before we even hopped on to record this evening, you were blaring Tonic, which is some great like mid-90s alternative rock music. Yeah. Anyone who knows it, you know it. You're of a certain age if you know it. You are huge on like the 90s, like early 2000s vibe. And that's why we always get along. It was like the golden age of our lives and music as well. But what term are you going to unearth for me that I haven't heard in 20 years this time? What are you watching now?
Well, what are we going to do tonight, Brain?
Oh, wow.
That's my question for you. Yeah.
Yes. Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain. Yes.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay, thank you.
It's back. Wow. It's on Hulu. I don't know how long it's actually been back for, but turned it on this past week. It is just as fantastic as you remember.
Man, Animaniacs. I didn't said those words decades. God, you did
it. I know, right?
You did it again. That's a throwback for sure.
It's good. It's very good. I highly encourage everyone to watch it, because if you're going to be watching really horrible Christmas movies all month like I am, might as well get some good animated stuff from the 90s. You know, have that feel back in you. It's new, so it's not the 90s, but it reminds you of the 90s.
Yes,
so,
great segue. I got some new movies for you. This is rare because you know me, I'm not a huge movie guy. However, I've watched two new movies in the last week. Mm. Shocking. First one is Christmas themed. Nice, cheesy Christmas movie. If you just want to get down with that, you're just looking for simple laughs. It's called Holiday. starring Emma Roberts and a bunch of other people you'll recognize as well. Funny movie that kind of walks you through all the holidays in the calendar. It's a relationship-based romantic comedy, a good watch. And then I got to shout out some mutual friends of ours on the podcast. I saw Tanner Beard and Ryan Rotman and that whole circle promoting Buddy Games, which is the directorial debut, Mike, of Josh Duhamel, who we saw on Holy Moly with Tanner Beard there. So this is his directorial debut, and picture like guy's trip, going out to do guy stuff, kind of a bit of a grown-ups type vibe, but a lot more 2020 character into it. It's a good watch as well. So Buddy Games, a good holiday watch on streaming services as well. I think it's either, I think it's on Amazon right now. So go check out Buddy Games. I got a good laugh out of it, and so will you.
Love it. Let's go ahead and get into this week's guest, Alex, because you and I, and really everyone knows who Terry Bradshaw is, right?
Yes, NFL on Fox, all the commercials, legendary, four Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, and now he and his family are getting into the Kardashian territory with their new show, Bradshaw Bunch.
That's right, on the TV network. Yeah. It's a fun one.
Yeah. If you're into that sort of thing, and I know you are.
That's great. I'm down for a cheesy reality show, but this one is anything but. This is a real authentic family, Mike. It's nice to watch a family-based reality show like this and not have them wearing like $10,000 shoes and $100,000 coats and going to like extremely posh celebrity venues. This is about like a real football family that likes to grill burgers and jump in the pool and have a good time out on the ranch. The all-American family reality show. And it was great to catch up with this week's guest, Noah, who is Terry Bradshaw's stepson.
That's right. He's also an accomplished chef. He lives out in Hawaii. He's a golfer. And you got to ask him about all of that. And we will hear about it in just a moment. But first, as always, we want to let you know that this conversation is brought to you by our friends at Groove It Golf, makers of the Groove It Golf Brush. It is currently in pre-order as they bring it back in stock. They're hoping to ship before Christmas, so you get it in time. So you can head over to their website and get it pre-ordered. And Alex, let's tell the people why this is not your average brush.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the patent and pump, first of all. That's your go-to term. You love the patent and pump, right?
The patent and pump. You can spray water or cleaning solution right onto the club face because we know there's no source of water out in the course right now. It probably won't be for years, decades. Yeah. Eons. It's never coming back. Never. So you need that built into your brush. And this brush doesn't just attach permanently to your bag, right?
Nope, it does not. It's got that wonderful magnetic clip, which makes it so easy for you to just detach and reattach. It doesn't get any better than that.
It's great. It's great. And they have so much confidence in their brush that it comes with a 3-year bristle guarantee. So, Alex, if you wear out your brush head cleaning clubs in 3 years, send it back. They'll get you a free replacement.
You know, it's funny you mention that, Mike, because I actually did a little snooping on the market because I was wondering who tries to compete with the Groove It brush. And I'm not going to mention any names, but there are names out there of people that try and make a brush like Groove It, but they do not have that 3-year bristle guarantee, Mike. That's the differential here, on top of all the great things we love about the Groove It.
That's incredible to know that they really stand behind their product. And that means it's a good product. It's so good. It's on back order. Like we said, it's coming back in stock. So you can get this incredible golf brush by heading over to their website, grooveitbrush.com. Get a pre-order so it'll ship as soon as it's back in stock. They're saying by Christmas they'll have it out to everybody. So you can get it so you can have the spin trajectory and consistency you're looking for with your existing golf clubs when you have clean grooves with the Groove It. So again, head on over to grooveitbrush.com and pre-order your Groove It brush today.
Next up on the tee, we have an award-winning chef based in Hawaii, and you've also seen him with his family on the E! Network's Bradshaw Bunch, which is just a hilarious show, I have to say. We've got Noah Hester joining the Course of Life. Noah, how's it going today?
Great, how are you doing?
Doing very well. So let's get right into the Bradshaw Bunch. Essentially, you're on a new reality show following Terry Bradshaw, legendary NFL quarterback, and his family. You are with Terry's stepdaughter, Lacey. How did you originally meet Lacey? Was it on Hawaii? Was it on the mainland? And what's the background of your relationship?
Sure. So I was the executive chef of a restaurant out here, and was was taking over as a general manager as well. I'd never really worked in the front of the house. But, you know, being the goal of having my own restaurant one day, I wanted to learn all aspects of the restaurant. And the owners were kind enough to give me a shot at it. You know, I'd worked there for years in the kitchen and worked my way up and took over as executive chef. And so they gave me a shot to be the general manager. And one of the things I wanted to do before I took that position was to learn all the other front of the house positions, you know, so that I wouldn't come in and tell people how to do their job.
Definitely.
Even though I had no idea how to do it. And so I did everything, you know, I bartended, I was a host, I ran food. And so one of the nights that I was expediting, running food and chefing at the same time, you know, a busy Saturday night, I ran some food out and I was wearing my chef jacket and I ran some food out to a table and I see this beautiful blonde girl kind of giving me the eyes, you know.
Nice.
I'm pretty shy. I'm a really shy guy.
But you caught the signal though, right?
Yeah. I saw, yes, she denies it to this day, but she was giving me the eye for sure.
Nice.
So I went back in the kitchen. I told all the other runners, I'm like, hey, if that food comes up, it's real on, I'm running it. Like, you don't even try it. And so I ran this, I had this really cool salad, the living salad, which was kind of fun and needed a little explanation. And so they ordered one and I took it out to her. And it was actually her and her biological dad and his wife. And I dropped it and she was, you know, again, giving me the eyes and I kind of explained it. And then I kind of lurked around the dining room waiting for, you know, some bravery, I guess. And one of the waitresses came up and she's like, Noah, I see what you're doing. You're being super creepy. She's like, grow some balls and go talk to this girl or I'm going to do it for you. And, you know, I kind of positioned myself between the bathroom and her table. And as she got up one time and she said hi and food was great. And you know, and then went and sat down and I wasn't brave enough. And eventually I finally saw my opening and I went over to the table and I introduced myself to her dad and her stepmom and to her and gave her my card and started chatting it up. We, you know, walked her to her car later that night and gave her my number and it went from there.
Very cool. Nice. I love that you had the bravery and you with a little pinch of an employee, a coworker of yours, got the bravery you needed in that moment too. That was a huge one for you. I love that. One thing that you and I have in common as well too, is that we're originally from the Austin area. I've lived there for the last 10 years, but you were actually born there and grew up there briefly. Are you a Hawaii lifer though? How early did you get out to the island?
You know, we moved from Texas. We lived on Lake Travis. My dad was a sailboat captain and he had a boat salvage yard.
Beautiful spot.
And so I think I was about 4 years old. And for his 40th birthday, him and my mom decided, let's get one-way tickets to Hawaii. And I think there's a story that changes over the years, but he did some work for someone and they traded him these one-way tickets to Hawaii, I believe is what happened.
Interesting.
You know, and they're like, I'm a sailboat captain. I want to be on the ocean. So they saved up whatever little money they could and they brought me and my sister out here. And so I've been here 38 years. I left briefly and moved to Nashville, Tennessee when I graduated high school. But yeah, I've been here 34 years.
Very cool. Let's talk about the culture there, whether it's just breaking down what goes on daily and dispelling some myths as well. I'm sure for someone like myself who's got it on their list to go there, it's a place that everyone's got on their list to visit. Tell everyone, what's it like living there full time? Is it truly a culture of people that are just surfing and playing volleyball all day? You know, what really goes on, you know, in the day-to-day heartbeat of people that live on the island?
You know, the cost of living here is high. It's very expensive. I think where I'm paying like $8 for a gallon of milk and, you know, it costs $200 to fill up my truck. I mean, it's expensive to live here. So people work and they work hard and, you know, a lot of people have several jobs, you know, unless you're lucky enough to find something that you can do. A lot of people start their own businesses and work for themselves so that they can afford the lifestyle or they can kind of schedule themselves around when the surf is here or what, you know, everybody, especially in the tourist business, you know, restaurants, hotels, the holidays are jammed. You know, we work our butts off for a couple of months, you know, 4 or 5 months. And then we have a little bit of break when everybody goes back to the mainland. We have a little bit of time. And people here really do appreciate their time, whether it's surfing or with their families or being out in nature. They really appreciate and value where we live. And you know, I know myself, try to make a point to go and do something fun or see something new and just really appreciate, you know, everything around us. So it's definitely different. You know, I just spent the 6 months in the Dallas area to film the show. and there's just freeways and busyness and everybody's rushing around.
Oh yeah, like, that's for sure.
I don't know. My dad came to visit and he described it as like everybody has this buzz. They have this like energy around them. You know, they're almost like vibrating with all this energy. And Hawaii is much different. Here, people are so relaxed, and you see it when tourists come here on the day they land, and they still kind of have that glazed over mainland busy look. And then over the days, they started to tan out a little bit and go to the beach and really appreciate where they are and just slow down, you know? And so I would describe it here as slow for sure.
Nice. Let's talk about some Hawaiian cuisine, because I know you're a specialist in it and everything around it. One thing that's authentically Hawaiian that's made its way to the mainland is poke, which I've had a little bit of. But just talk about what we can see on your Instagram. It's Chef Noah Hester. You post a lot of great food pictures. I'd love to hear about kind of like the different varieties of fish, because I see you using a lot of different seafood in the Hawaiian cuisine that you do prepare.
So what's really cool, you know, about the culture here in Hawaii and the food culture that a lot of people don't know is all the different cultures that have moved here over the years. You know, we had the sugarcane plantations and we had the pineapple plantations. The island I live on, the island of Hawaii, has a huge ranching community. So the food, you know, is this mix of traditional Hawaiian food, Chinese food, Japanese food, Portuguese, you know, a little bit of Puerto Rican. All of these different cultures came here and they brought their favorite dishes, their favorite flavors, and they've all over the years melded to what, you know, I would consider to be Hawaiian food now. So it's a really unique food history. You know, a lot of people think of Hawaii as like a pineapple and ham pizza, which I would say is sacrilege.
is spam actually a thing there? Can you just dispel that for everyone?
Yes, spam is actually a thing, and I know everybody says that's horrible, that's disgusting, but, you know, we eat spam in my house on a regular basis. The kids love it.
I love it.
I mean, you go to the gas station, and one of our favorite snacks is a musubi, and it's basically a block of rice, steamed warm rice with a piece of spam on top of it, and then a seaweed wrapped around it. So it's like a big square spam sushi roll.
Wow.
And it is like one of the best things you get at every gas station, you know, and it's just like the best little snack, the salty and the rice and the seaweed. So anyway, you know, growing up here, you get to eat all these different foods. And I just thought that was, you know, commonplace. That's what I've always seen. And so then I've spent my time in Nashville, Tennessee, and kind of learned about the Southern food and my Southern roots. And so I try to kind of combine those two things. And I say a lot of times that like Southern hospitality and the Aloha spirit are very, very similar. You know, they're very similar cultures and ideas. And so the food actually melds really well together. You know, we're blessed to have so many cool fishes. You know, I have these fishermen, this guy Jubal from Big Island Fish, he has about 6 or 8 boats that he buys fish from, you know, and so he'll hit me up and be like, dude, we just caught 2 Onos, or we caught 2 Mahi-Mahis. And he'll tell me, you know, these cool fishes. And so a lot of times when I do menus for guests, you know, I just say whatever's coming in fresh. And oftentimes they'll have fish that evening that was caught that morning. And that's really hard to beat. You know, something like that, you don't really have to do a lot to it because it's just so fresh and so clean.
Very cool. I love that look back into the food culture specifically in Hawaii and how fresh the fish really truly can be. Let's talk a little golf, because we are a golf podcast at heart, and both myself and my co-host are lifelong golfers.
Sure.
I see you've gotten the opportunity to play courses on the island. Obviously, you know, for us golf fans who have seen Hawaii, we've seen Kapalua and the Plantation Course. We've seen Wailea where the Sony Open is. But talk about maybe some of your favorites outside of those, of course, that you've either played or had friends play on the island.
You know, what's really unique about this island is the different elevations. I think we have, you know, 7 of the 10 temperate zones just on this island. So there's some really beautiful, you know, traditional Hawaiian courses that you would expect along the coast, like the Mauna Kea and Hapuna Beach Resort. Both have 2 really great courses that play along the ocean. And then you can go up to a golf course called Makani, which is up higher on the mountain. And so you've got like goats and wild peacocks and turkeys running through the fairway.
Nice. I love that.
It's a little bit cooler. You know, it rains. Yeah, it rains in the afternoon. You know, it's wild. And then you go all the way down to Volcano, and they've got some really cool golf courses down in the Volcano area, which is like you're playing through a rainforest. So really, you could play golf on this island, you know, a couple times a week and never, ever get bored because there's so many varied courses.
Nice. And on your Instagram, I saw that you played recently during Golden Hour. We debated a lot on the podcast and with our guests. Are you a more of a preferential towards a Golden Hour sunset round, or is it sunrise in Hawaii that's more beautiful when you're playing alongside the ocean?
You know, you really can't go wrong. I prefer later in the afternoon, mostly because I'll probably have a few beers. Yes. And so I want to be able to relax, take my time, watch the sunset, and not rush in. So I would say that's probably my preference. It's a little bit cooler, you know, possibility of rain, and it's also the courses are less crowded. And, you know, honestly, in the last couple of months have been incredible here because the island was shut down. And so we would go out and play this Mauna Kea Resort, which is this beautiful resort, really well-maintained golf course. And we had the whole 18 holes to ourselves the entire day.
That's awesome. Nothing better than an empty course. And the pictures probably don't even do it justice to how beautiful it is that's on your Instagram. Again, it's Chef Noah Hester. Let's get into the Bradshaw Bunch, which you're a part of. It's Thursday nights on the E! Network. Just saw the season finale myself recently. Let me just get your first reaction. Maybe when you heard about the filming of the show and that this was going to happen, did you hear it from Lacey? And what was your first initial reaction?
Am I allowed to use cuss words? Because
yes, you can throw one or two out. Yeah.
Yeah. I was, what the fuck was my first. But it was actually cool. We were in LA, Lacey and the girls were doing, Celebrity Family Feud with Terry, which was a hilarious, if you haven't seen it, it's really, really, really funny.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
So we went and filmed that, and then, we were having dinner and Jason, the producer of the show, Jason Ehrlich, who also produced Better Late Than Never, which was the show Terry was on a couple years ago, which was also a really good show. We were all at dinner at the steakhouse and they proposed it to the whole family, you know? And so myself and Lacey and Aaron and Scott and Rachel, we all went out that night and kind of talked about, like, is this something we all want to get into? And I think everybody kind of had their, you know, reservations, because we didn't want to become this cheesy reality show family, I don't think. But at the same time, it is a real, really genuine family that loves each other so much. And we have a really good time. I mean, a lot of what you see is really how we are. You know, we're always messing with each other. We're always laughing. I mean, and I think that's what inspired Jason to do the show, is he would see us around the dinner table and, you know, there's very few minutes go by that you're not just cracking up about something, you know, you're laughing so hard and then everybody loves each other so much, you know, it's a really close family, a lot of love and support. And so we're like, you know, maybe it would be cool for the world to see this and to see that this is a real normal family and how genuine it is, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot of authenticism in your family. Definitely. And, you know, you obviously think about family based reality shows and you know that, you know, the Kardashians sit at the top of that, and that's more of a life of, you know, fashion based celebrity and the star spotlight and whatnot. But you guys truly represent the average awesome American family that sticks together and hangs out in the backyard in the pool and does burgers on the grill and has beers together and has a great time. So I really appreciate that. And it definitely shows through on the camera as well. Season one was definitely full of a lot of action in the family. It ended with you taking a walk through potential restaurants and Terry getting involved and thinking about who the imaginary staff could be at a restaurant opening in Texas. Is there any news to share or update on that front for you? Or are we opening something up in Texas, or are we staying in Hawaii for now?
You know, it's funny. That episode came out and I've got thousands of questions on Instagram about it. And we love that spot, you know, and one of the things, unfortunately, we didn't get to show, or didn't even happen in the filming, is we had this big restaurant pop up. So we were going to do the Barley and Board, which is a really cool restaurant in Denton. And they were going to let us take over the restaurant and do this really fun chef's menu. And I ordered all this killer fish from Hawaii and all these really fun Hawaiian products to do like a Texas Hawaii fusion menu. And literally I ordered the fish, it landed at the airport, and then they shut the state down because of COVID. And so we didn't get to do this really cool dinner scene. Which would have been fun, but you know, we were able to go look at that restaurant. It's a really cool spot. I had really good feelings about it. I think it would be a really fun, you know, but again, when all this was happening, COVID was so uncertain, you know, and it's still pretty uncertain. And so, you know, investing that kind of money, selling our house out here, buying a house there and investing a lot of, you know, our home equity into this restaurant was a pretty scary idea. You know, we've got two kids, and so they are a priority, and making sure that they're, you know, fed and go to school and all that good stuff is important to us. And Hawaii right now is much safer than most of the country, as far as COVID numbers.
Right.
So, you know, for, we just kind of put it on hold. You know, we've been talking as the episode came out, and we've been getting all this feedback about people who would be so excited to eat there, so excited to work there. It really kind of re-inspires us, you know? And so we've definitely been discussing it, and, you know, we'll see what happens in season two, I guess.
Exciting. Great tease. That's as good as you can do it right there. So I look forward to seeing if that does come to fruition. I got to talk about your kids. First of all, it's Jebediah and Zuri, who we see a lot on camera. Jebediah is just a great ball of energy at all times. He got very vocal in a couple of episodes. And then Zuri, just smart as a whip. She really steals the show. I'm curious, where does she get those snappy answers from? Because she delivers some great comedy on the show.
Man, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, where did you come up with this? And why are you a 19-year-old in a 7-year-old's body? Yes. she's that's how she is, man. She's smart. You know, they're both super smart. They both were, you know, talking before they should have, and all very eloquent, and not just talking, but like understanding dialect. You know, and again, you're growing up in a family that, you know, we're all witty and we all, you know, crack jokes at each other, and so I think that her being around that has made her wittier than all of us. You know, there's quite a few times where she's like, I'm like, wow, she got me good.
She thinks remarkably fast for a girl her age and comes up with things that myself and my wife weren't ready for. So I appreciate
her humor. We definitely have to remind ourselves sometimes that she's only 7, because she is, you know, she's light years ahead in most areas.
Good stuff. Yeah. Again, it's the Bradshaw Bunch on E! Network. Looking forward to potential season 2 soon. One other question my wife definitely wanted me to ask. She's a fan of the Bachelor franchise. And I know we saw Connor from the Bachelor franchise briefly talking with one of Lacey's sisters, one of the Bradshaw girls. Is he still in the picture at all? That my wife needed to know.
you know, I think that they had a great time. He was a really nice guy. We all really liked him. I think that both him and Rachel were at a point where they weren't ready to have a very serious relationship. I think they still talk. I don't know that there was any, you know, hard feelings either way. I think they're still friends, and you know, I think they just kind of moved on with their lives.
Fair enough. We'll leave it at that. Love that answer.
But
appreciate
we all
it.
We are all trying to get Rachel to go on The Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Yes. Yeah. If you start a campaign, you just let me know and we'll spread the word for sure. Nice. Noah, let's finish with a couple of food questions. Again, it's Chef Noah Hester on Instagram. Great following on social media as well. And you post some phenomenal food photos. One thing I saw you talking about recently, we're airing this as we build up to the holiday season. So the holiday season's changed for a lot of people this year, but people who are still trying to do those intimate family gatherings, I know that you are a big fan of the charcuterie and the cheese boards and the app plates that sit out at a lot of family social gatherings. Any tips for those specifically and for how you could show off this holiday season, or maybe something on your cheese board that you put on there that the average person isn't right now?
Well, so because we are here in Hawaii, and so Lacey loves a cheese board. I mean, I think that's her favorite snack ever. She constantly is stocking the fridge with random cheese board things, you know, as hints. You know, we'll be laying on the couch watching a movie at midnight and she's like, babe, cheese board, you know, giving me the elbow. So I always try to switch it up. You know, we live here so we can get all these cool exotic Asian like dried fruits and fun things like that. I would just say the coolest thing about a cheese board, and I commented, somebody asked me about this on Instagram earlier today, and I was just saying the cool thing about a cheese board is that it's you. You can put whatever you want on that plate as long as there's a balance. You know, I say put a soft cheese on there, put like a real stinky cheese or a blue cheese, put like a really hard, salty, briny aged cheese, and then switch it up. Put like a sweet fruit on there, and then put something pickled on there, and put something crunchy on there. But basically, most people can find things in their cabinet to put on a cheese board, and just don't be scared to put something cool on there and test it out. You know, there's so many different combinations. You know, you could try this brie with a blueberry, you could try this brie with a piece of bacon. I mean, it doesn't matter what you've got on that cheese board, you're going to find some cool combinations on there that you like. And so I really encourage people to do the cheese board, because if you've got 6 people at your house, everybody in that house is going to find something on that cheese board that they like, and some kind of cool unique combination that maybe you've never heard of, you know. So my suggestion is just don't be shy, and don't don't be afraid to experiment with it.
I love that. It's easy on variety and creating it, and it's kind of a choose your own destination for everyone that's at your social function. Appreciate that tip. And then we'd love to finish with our 19th hole question. I know you're a golfer and a chef, so you can answer this one better than most people can. Let's say you're just finishing 18 holes on the island. It's been a long day, but you finish at sunset. You're heading into the clubhouse. What's your go-to move in terms of like a 19th hole meal and maybe a drink you like to pair it with?
So we have Big Island Brew House, which is a killer brewery out here, and so they've got a lot of really, really good beers. So I'd like to finish with one of those beers, and depending on what time of day it is, I'm going to say hot wings or oysters.
Ooh, that's the first oysters answer we've gotten.
Just
I appreciate
straight
that.
Oysters on a half shell and a beer.
Like that.
Yeah. It's refreshing. You know, it's refreshing and fun. Yeah.
Great answer. Preference on raw or grilled oysters?
Depends on the size. I really like the small, like cushy oysters or Kumamoto's as raw. But if they're a little bit bigger, I'll do something grilled or like the charbroiled oysters that they do in New Orleans, man. That's action right there.
Yes, that's the real deal. I've had those before. Definitely. All right. It's Noah Hester, a great chef, award winning. Looking forward to seeing you on season 2 of Bradshaw Bunch and all the food content you're putting out on social media. And thanks again for joining the Course of Life.
Thanks so much, Alex. I appreciate it, man. It was a good time.
That interview with Noah Hester is brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, the makers of the Phone Caddy. It's a one-of-a-kind phone holder designed to mount right onto the golf cart. The Phone Caddy works seamlessly with any phone model, and it Velcros onto the cart in seconds. You can keep your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips, change music, answer calls and texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy. It is the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. And not only is the Phone Caddy a great gift for any golfer, it's also a perfect size to go in a stocking, Alex, because it's December. And have you gotten anyone stocking stuffers yet out there?
Someone in my circle is getting a Phone Caddy for Christmas. I will not say who, but they'll be very
lucky. It's not me because I already have one. So.
That's right.
And we want all of you out there listening to get one of these for, you know, get one for yourself, get one for the rest of the golfers in your family, get it in their stocking. And you can save 20% off your purchase with the promo code Course of Life. So you can save 20% off their regular line and their patriotic line, typically excluded from any deal. So you can get some Phone Caddies into your friends' hands for Christmas and feel awesome that you hooked them up and you saved money. So again, that's promo code Course of Life at DesertFoxGolf.com. Again, DesertFoxGolf.com. Promo code Course of Life. Save 20%. Head on over to DesertFoxGolf.com right now and get your Phone Caddy today. And we're back. Great interview there with Noah. Too bad he didn't get to really get moving on his Texas restaurant because of the Rona. But man, his pop-up right there in Denton, Texas, stopping ground for me for a little while a few years ago. I know exactly where he was going to be there.
That's right. You and I have had a night there as well, too. We hung out down in the square, and that's a really cool part of Texas, and the Northern Texas crowd knows that as well, too. But man, I don't know. You know, it's going to take a lot. Terry, at the, in the season 1 finale, was trying to convince Noah and Lacey and the kids to move back from Hawaii. But I don't know. If you look at Noah's Instagram right now, it's Chef Noah Hester right now, for anyone who's listening. Would you want to leave that life, Mike? He's golfing in Hawaii and cooking all the food he wants for his patrons there at the restaurant?
No,
why would
you
leave that? You know?
I've never been to Hawaii. I'd like to go sometime, but I'm pretty sure if I had the opportunity to either stay in paradise and play golf all day or go to Texas, and I've lived in Texas. No offense, Texas.
Yeah.
No, I'd stay in Hawaii.
But I don't know if it's Hawaii, though.
There's Texas. There's like hill country Texas where you are, which is beautiful. And then there's where I was in Denton, which is flat desert.
Yes. Gas stations and over and underpasses. Good stuff. Shout out Texas there. And and good to get the perspective from Noah. And season 2 is confirmed, by the way, for anyone who's going to watch it back. I think you can get it on streaming services if you want to watch season 1 now. But season 2, Bradshaw Bunch, is confirmed. And maybe we'll get some more characters and members of the family on the show in weeks to come.
There you go. And if you like that conversation with Noah Hester and everything else we do in this podcast, go ahead and make sure you give us a rating and subscribe on the podcast app of your choice. It really helps us feel good about ourselves. And if you don't want us to feel good about ourselves, well, then bully for you.
Yeah, it's a sad way to live. But if you got to do it, you can take it out on us. So again, feel free to rate and subscribe wherever you're listening right now.
Let's talk college football because the Rona continues to rear its head because people won't wear masks and socially distance themselves.
No, not in college. No, they will not. They absolutely refuse, Mike. And basically the theme for this week's football conversation is like Christmas versus football. College football is just like running smack dab into Christmas right now. They're like trying to cram all these games in the next few weeks. It's getting weird. So much so to the point that this week we've already recorded. There was a Tuesday morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern time kickoff between Western Kentucky and Charlotte in December. I mean, this has just gone mad in terms of the schedule.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Fortunately, I got back to where I needed to be with my picks last weekend. Again, Twitter, Course of Life won. I tweeted out a card on Saturday. I'm betting weeknight college football games as well. Picks went 6-3. Always happy to have a winning week. And shout out to Hawaii ending the night with a winner for my profiting Saturday. Some crazy stuff all around. Mike, I don't know if you saw either one of these headlines. The first one being Sarah Fuller. Did you hear about
this? Oh, yeah. How could you miss this? You live on a rock. My question is, why does it take this long for this to happen?
Took a lot of coronavirus for this to happen, apparently, under the Vanderbilt football team. But the good thing is Derek Mason had the wherewithal to be smart. Vanderbilt does not have a men's soccer program. He went over and contacted the women's soccer team. The goalie, Sarah Fuller, just off an SEC championship, was ready to go. She suited up and became the first woman to play in a Power 5 college football game, delivering the kickoff in the second half to start things for Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt stinks, so they couldn't even get her a field goal attempt. It was a 41-0 loss. But nonetheless, headline of the day on Saturday was Sarah Fuller getting it done for the women out there and a great message she delivered. And I also want to shout out Jared Patterson from Buffalo, who had a record-breaking performance, 8 TDs. He was pulled before the ninth, but an amazing game to score 8 touchdowns in any football game. You know, you're doing something amazing.
Usually either that or the other team sucks.
The other team did suck. So that is another side note as well, too. Welcome to college football.
Not to belittle the accomplishment, but
shout out to the Mac in action. Let's get to the pros now, though. I finally have a little bit of something to hang my hat on, as do you. This could be a remarkably positive NFL segment, which we haven't had in a while. My Patriots got it done against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, winning at the buzzer again. They're 5-6. The path to the playoffs is alive. It is a very weird path, and we need a lot of help, but the Patriots are not dead yet.
I'm glad to hear your Patriots are doing well, and maybe we'll have a Patriots-Giants Super Bowl because the Giants are going to go all the way. They are ripe for the pickin'. They're peaking at the right time. They're 4-7. They're tied for first in the NFC East. I've been saying it all along, Alex. The Giants are going to win it all.
You have been saying that all along. That's clear. Anyone could check the tape and listen back and see that you definitely did not quit on the season at all. That's the last thing.
No, I didn't quit in week 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7.
No, not at all.
No.
You had a Daniel Jones injury. I don't know what his status is going to be for this coming week. You could have Colt McCoy, shout out to the Texas Longhorns, starting for the Giants quarterback next week. But you're in the playoff race at 4-7, Mike. The Giants tied, or I think they have tied or a sole position of the lead based on what happens with Monday Night Football. Insane stuff going on in the NFC least, I like to call it.
It's a great time to be a Giants fan.
It is. Yes. Wild scene over there. One other thing we got to get to, a couple weird headlines. Yeah. First one, another Rona issue. Denver Broncos quite literally playing without a QB. All four of them were out last Sunday for contact tracing. They brought a wide receiver from the practice squad up. They did absolutely horribly, but it was entertaining to actually watch them just kind of squirm and just call all these random plays in running back formation. So Denver Broncos playing without a QB, just another typical headline for the 2020 NFL season.
Yeah, the Denver Broncos playing without a quarterback against the New Orleans Saints scored as many points as Tom Brady and the Bucks did against the Saints a couple weeks ago.
Well done there. Thank you. I appreciate that. Shout out to the Bucks for losing again, 7-5. Things a little bit in doubt there on the NFC South side.
I want to ask about the Bucks real quick. Is it that Tom Brady isn't really that good, or is it that the Bucks aren't using Tom Brady the right way?
Bruce Arians just delivers the most non-subtle jabs at Tom Brady's inability to hit open receivers. I don't think they like each other at all. Like I know Bruce Arians like realized that when he brought Tom Brady in that you were kind of handing the keys to the castle over, but I think he's finding that he's not liking that power struggle right now, and it definitely exists down there. So there's some weird vibes going on in Tampa Bay at this point.
The other thing I know you wanted to get to, let's talk about how we've always said how and felt that football is a religion.
Yes.
Correct.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Of course.
It's taking a backseat to something happening.
Yes. Yeah. This is the other part of that shoe, the other shoe to drop on Christmas versus football. So this is the overly canceled Steelers-Ravens game, which is pushed now into this week from last week. It's now scheduled to be played Wednesday afternoon, whether that even happens. They wanted Wednesday evening. They went to Wednesday and NBC and said, "Dear NBC, we have a marquee NFL matchup for you on Wednesday night. Would you like to televisit to the entire nation?" And NBC basically just shrugged their shoulders and said, "Sorry, Roger, we got to light a Christmas tree, Rockefeller Center." So they have pushed the NFL to a 3:40 potential kickoff time because Christmas rules all, and the tree lighting far more important than Steelers Ravens, apparently.
I mean, it is a Christmas tree that needs to be lit. So
it's a tradition unlike any other, and I'm not talking about the Masters either. You know, comes around once a year. It's the first week in December. You always know it's either, I thought it was on a Thursday night, to be honest, but I guess they do Wednesday night. They have musical guests. They sold advertising space for it. I was reading the tweets about the logic behind them making this decision, but very interesting times in this 2020 NFL season when you're seeing a Steelers-Ravens potentially primetime game getting bumped to the middle of Wednesday afternoon. What a sign of the times in the NFL.
It's what happens. Let's hashtag always end with food, Alex.
Let's do it. Brought to you by Saucy. Promo code Course of Life to get $5 off your first delivery. Beer, wine, liquor, snacks in 13 major cities they operate in. Again, check out the Saucy app for your quarantine parties. Promo code Course of Life for $5 off. Let's start with you, Mike. Yeah, you had your birthday last week in conjunction with Thanksgiving. A late happy birthday wish to you. How did everything go with the holiday, the baking, the pear pie, and all that good stuff?
You know, it was all good. It was all good. It was the pear cranberry pie with the pecan almond streusel ginger topping.
Wow.
I think it was. There's a lot going on. It was good. It was, you know, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I liked it. I thought it was a good pie. It's not my favorite.
That's okay, though, because that is what I call an off-brand fruit pie to try.
Right.
It's okay for you to experiment and not love that. That's not the
That said, my wife has said it is her favorite pie that she has ever had.
Oh, well, guess what? You're having every year now.
Yeah. So we're having this every year now for Thanksgiving, I guess.
You'll upgrade your stance on that eventually. That's how marriage works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's okay because it's also Christmas cookie season. So
yes, it is. That's right. Shout out to Brandy Malloy and the Christmas Cookie Challenge on Food Network right now as well, too. I'm watching that. What are like your go-to like Christmas cookies? When I think Christmas cookie, I think like an 8-year-old. I think of a sugar cookie and a cutout and red and green sprinkled on top. But there's much more to it now.
No. There's always a snickerdoodle, which is just always a fun time.
Fair enough.
You never think about making a snickerdoodle. You always go, "Oh, I don't know, a snickerdoodle." And then you have one and you're like, "Oh yeah, that's the stuff."
Yeah.
I have a really good recipe for a craisin white chocolate oatmeal cookie, which is really good.
Wow.
And then I found a brand new recipe this week that I made, which is, I think, the best cookie I've ever made. It's a chocolate chip cookie. And it is incredibly good.
And just extremely dark in color as well, too. You put the pictures out on your Instagram at MWRINC, and we're at COL Podcast. If you want to follow the pod Instagram as well, too, you're always putting your food there. That does sound tasty. And then that oatmeal raised and white, crazy white chocolate, that almost sounds remotely healthy, even though I know it's not, though. It just it sounds it.
If you want to think it is, I will let you, but don't weigh yourself after you have some.
It is. It's Christmas cookie season indeed. I've just basically been putting the wraps on Thanksgiving and the remainder of turkey. So if anyone's got a few days left for the leftovers and the turkey hacks, I did oven baked turkey and cheese sandwiches. Those are a nice treat. I threw some turkey in the air fryer, actually. I've been going crazy on my air fryer since I got it as a wedding gift. That's fun. That's just delightful to have a nice little fried crispy turkey breast piece. Oh, man. And what else have I done? Another turkey club sandwich with bacon. Always classic. Yep. You can do that on
a done a good old-fashioned New England turkey, Thanksgiving turkey sandwich with the stuffing and the cranberry sauce and the gravy?
I did one, was it Thursday night or Friday, which had, it had turkey, it had gravy remnants and a little bit of cranberry sauce. That is, I feel like that is a very geographically relevant thing. I know they exist everywhere, but the, like the Thanksgiving sandwich, very much a Northeast part of the country type deal.
It is.
Good stuff. That's hashtag always in with food and another great episode of The Course of Life. Mike, it's the holiday season. We got some great guests coming up. Little teaser for everyone. We have a PGA Tour tournament director coming on in the next couple weeks. Golf influencer. Makes a lot of great golf content as well. And another chef and food TV host coming your way. A lot of stuff coming up in December on The Course of Life. Everyone stay tuned and have a good rest of your week.